Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
Half the show. I'm Inoko, aka Lindsay Leverage. And this here is Todoroki. Wait, Todoroki.
This way.
It's reversed in the camera, Todoroki. Also known as AJ. And then here's Jackie, and she doesn't have a costume. Please be nice to her.
No, I missed the memo, apparently. I was like, dude, you guys, I have so much My Hero Academia cosplay. I did Todoroki for sure, Bakugo, Neijiri. I'm sure I have others, too. I'm like, what the heck? I missed the memo, apparently.
The costume mine came in just over the weekend, yeah. And I was really excited. And
I can also be Momo, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Not really, yeah. Okay.
But I also got my second Moderna vaccine. Everyone, at least within the United States, if you're 12 or older now, you can go get your vaccine so that we can have awesome events again. Hopefully.
Yes.
Please. I got mine at Walgreens, and it was really, really easy to sign up. So check out Walgreens, or you can go through the CDC, but not the CDC. Maybe the state health website for your state, or just start, bothering all your local pharmacies.
I just Googled it. I don't even remember.
You're like, where do I get my vaccine?
I really think that's how I did it.
Yeah.
And then somehow just whatever link I clicked on, really helped me figure it out. So there you go. Yeah. Easy to do, folks.
Easy to do. So far my, side effects for this one is actually not as bad as my first one. I do not have full body aches. So, don't be scared.
That's wild. Most people say the second shot's more of an impact.
I'm waiting to jinx myself, to be honest. So we'll see for sure. We've also got some cool links going on in the chat right now. I want to remind everybody to head over to animenewsnetwork.com/newsletter to get signed up for our newsletter. We've got that coming out every Sunday morning, and it gives you the best and most important headlines and reviews, everything that we've published that week. And we also have new merch. I know I've been saying this, but we really, really, we have new merchandise coming soon. I've got to see some of the samples for it. So if you want to pick up what we have now or wait to see what we have coming out, you want to head over to kaimonomerch.com. And we also have a really special giveaway. So I hope you guys in the chat stick around for it. For sure, we've got a giveaway that's going to be happening about the middle of the show. We've got a really cool loot crate from Loot Crate. Jackie has all the details on that, but it's got some really cool Gundam stuff. So she's going to show us everything that's inside of their new Gundam Loot Crate box. And we'll have a trivia question, a link to put in the answer, first person to get it right. You're getting yourself one for free. And there's a lot of really cool stuff in there. So make sure to stick around to see that. Before we get to My Hero Academia, which unfortunately, Kinoko does not appear in the latest episode.
Aww.
This is like mushroom erasure. I'm really upset about it, but Todoroki is definitely in it. And he's got, some pretty cool moments. But before we talk about that, we're going to talk about the news, which is ridiculous this week, more ridiculous than usual. Guys, which one should I start with?
I guess
Dick Island.
The dicks, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So we're definitely gonna set off the R-rated censorship or something right now, because I'm gonna talk
about a man named Richard and his island.
Yes, we're talking about Richard Battle Isle.
Yes.
The new hit manga Richard Battle Isle that you can get now. It is currently it topped up as the number one romance manga. And number one yaoi and LGBTQ manga on Amazon's bestseller list. So the series is actually called Dick Fight Island. There you go.
It really is, yeah.
It really is called Dick Fight Island.
It's a joke.
That's what it looks like.
Why is that over my face right now? Of all the... I was like, can I move to the side here?
Yeah.
All right, here we go, everybody.
So I don't know about AJ and Jackie, but I actually read it. Yes, I did.
Oh,
I read the entire volume. I know everything that happens in it. So if we have any children in the chat, you can't buy this. It is porn. That is porn. It is 18 plus.
Duh.
Well, I thought maybe it wasn't.
How could they possibly censor that in any way.
Well, they all wear phallus armor to start with.
But still, what's happening, you know, between the armor? Like, there's
a lot of
no
Richard
way you could ever...
A lot of Richard Spider. Okay, so when I saw it, I thought it was just going to be, like, jousting, okay?
That's
like, I thought, like, that was the point. It was, like, they're going to have the armor, and they're just going to, you know, be,
yeah,
like, jousting. But
it's sword fighting.
Sword fighting, but, and I mean, they are, but, I mean, the end goal is what you would expect in a porn. That's how you win. So is everyone following my... Jackie, do I need
in
to
order
be more
to
vulgar?
Lose, you need to win.
I am not following.
You need to reach a higher plane of winning. I
you
did not
to,
read the story, but I know
win,
what it is about.
Like, well, you need... Okay, fine. You need to make your opponent ejaculate. There, I said it. It's on YouTube now. I said the word ejaculate on YouTube.
This is
and
as hentai as it can get.
Yes. Yes, it is. Okay.
No.
So, I mean, so there's eight guys. They're all very handsome. They come from different islands because they're supposed to be like these previously undiscovered islands where this cultural battle has existed. Every 4 years, that's how they elect their like king. Okay. And so you get to know each one of them a little bit, and it's just,
I love
that's
how Lindsay's
the story.
Speechless right now. It's like, what do you even say? I don't even want to say anything because I feel like I'm going to say something so inappropriate that I'll never be invited back on the show. But all I can say is that I had a very in-depth conversation with myself about sizes and different abilities, and I was like, why am I thinking about this? This
yeah.
And if like I was
still talking about the manga,
show,
right?
Just yes. I'm just saying if I was orchestrating the show, you know, at first you think it's stupid, but there's actually a lot of things that you could
right.
kind of do a job with.
Yes. And I mean, they have different
abilities.
You know?
Exactly.
So that, I mean, they do take it that direction, you know, like feet, you know, just stuff.
I feel like I don't want to say a word because I, again, want to be invited back on the show.
Yeah, I mean, I almost called you out for saying in depth, and I was just like,
oh,
I'm such a
I'm out. Bye, everybody. No, I'm
going. So anyway,
I'm just going to be quiet.
It's selling really, really well on Amazon, and if you're of age and want to see what it's all about, you can buy it there for now until Amazon figures out what it's about and pulls it like they have most of their porn. Speaking of pulling porn,
yeah.
I kind of regret using the word pulling too. Speaking of pulling porn, eBay is pulling all their porn.
Where did this come from?
So,
like, who heard this?
So what it is, I mean, they'll tell you in their statement that it's about
yeah.
like protecting the people who don't want to see it. What it's about is it's about PayPal. So
oh.
a lot of companies that do the money exchanging,
mm-hmm.
like are subject to lobbyists and whatnot that hate sex work. And that's why like, if you sell like nudie photos or anything like that, you can't do it through PayPal. It's usually very difficult to find like a way to allow
what
your
do you
customers.
Use Venmo?
Yes. Or like OnlyFans.
Or Patreon. That... Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Patreon actually kind of blocked it too. Like that was a thing that happened too, was Patreon kind of like kicked everything out, just like how Tumblr got rid of all the porn at one point too. It's just, it's all,
really?
If you ask my opinion,
Patreon,
it's all Puritan bullshit.
So Patreon,
yeah.
you can't do like, because I remember a lot of people were doing that on Patreon.
Yeah, that's why they switched to OnlyFans, because they started cracking down, like some artists can still kind of finagle with it.
Yeah, like with art, yeah, like actual drawn art as opposed to
right.
photographs.
But people that do more suggestive, like cosplay, like I know a couple of people that do suggestive cosplay content and stuff like that. And they had to jump ship Patreon because they either weren't getting their money or like the it just wasn't feasible anymore.
See, that's
yeah.
unfortunate. Sorry to get into a whole discussion about this, but don't ask me how I know so much about this stuff. I think I just like study so much about social media that it like somehow will go that way.
Yeah.
And OnlyFans takes like a giant chunk of money. Like it's like,
mm-hmm.
I think they take like 40%. Patreon only takes like 7%.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know,
well, that's
I
the benefit
know.
Of where you, when you're like the major, like the only major platform
yeah.
for sex workers, they don't have an alternative. So you can take a big chunk of it because where else are they going to go?
Yeah, yep. That's interesting. So now eBay's cracking down. It's just,
and eBay specifically said like hentai and stuff like that too.
Yeah.
And like, again, like I was saying earlier with Amazon previously pulled a whole bunch of light novel content that wasn't even actually like 18 plus like erotic content, but it had maybe some like suggestive, it had like some fan service type images in it. And some of those titles also got pulled. So there was also a pretty big, we'd have to go back further. We might have talked about it at one point. Australia got really up in arms about like Ero Manga Sensei and a couple of other titles over there. And
oh, I remember that.
Yeah. So it's just
interesting.
Yeah. Just politics getting into our porn like always. So
yeah. I don't know how I feel about that. I think that I get that they don't want, well, let's be honest, if we even go down this is just opening up a can of worms, because it's just like, I know for Lindsay and I, we're a little bit older, and so we were kind of like here when the internet was just starting, and I'm sure you were like in chat rooms and stuff like that, right? When you were like 11, right?
Yeah, like on AOL.
Literally, yeah. Talk about like a hazardous situation for like an 11-year-old to be in, but like now things have evolved even more so, you know? So yeah. It's just like, I can't even imagine children's accessibility now to content like that, because like it was just burgeoning when we were really, really young, you know? And like, thankfully, I never experienced anything, but I look back and I'm like, dude, like that was just like predator
central.
Like how exactly, you know? Yeah. And yeah. And we were there when that was just beginning. So now things have evolved so much. I can't even imagine. I don't know how to properly use a Snapchat. I'm pretty much old AF, but it's like, you know, it's just tough to say anything with this stuff. Like you know, it does seem like a censorship, but then it's also like, what do you do when it's just like so accessible? How do you protect? Sorry, Lindsay. I'm like, you have a child. I'm like, how do you protect?
I have a 12-year-old with access to the internet. Like,
yeah.
No, as far as I know, but I can't speak on this like definitively, because like TBH, I haven't tried to buy porn off eBay before, but what I heard is that they had it sequestered off pretty well. Yeah. So you couldn't just like stumble upon it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, at that point you've got a really curious kid who's like claimed to be 18 or over and then is still searching for stuff, which they're gonna do as well.
Do not
but
now the curiosity of young preteen boys.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
all I can say, right? But
yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, Lindsay has one.
Oh yeah, someone Darius wrote briefly recalls Gundam Wing fanfics. Yeah, you can't really keep the kids away from fanfics at the end of the day.
Oh my god.
Go on the fanfiction.net.
Girl, I've read so many Sailor Moon fanfics.
Were they that kind though? Like,
were they doujins?
All I can say now, now I'm going off another tangent. But for real, like Sailor Moon, because you know the one we watched was censored, right? So like,
yeah.
Back then I knew nothing about, you know, lesbian, homosexual relationships. And then I was like, I love Sailor Moon. And like, I love all these characters. And then I Googled it and then found out that Jedite was actually a woman. Yeah. And that was it Zoisite?
Yeah. Zoisite was actually a man.
Jedite,
yeah.
And Zoisite was with Malisite. Right.
Yeah.
And so like found that out, you know, and then I was like, you know, very confused. And I was like, well, why wouldn't they just let like Zoisite be a dude? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was literally what helped me like understand that whole concept, you know?
Yeah.
And then obviously Sailor Uranus and Sailor Neptune. And
yeah. Sailor Uranus and Neptune were pivotal to me with that same stuff too. Cause
yeah.
I remember getting on Yahoo search, if that still exists, and then just looking up Sailor Moon. Cause I was like, I just want to find websites about Sailor Moon. Also I'm 10.
Yeah.
And some, you know, older fans who knew that there was something beyond like halfway through season R, cause that's where it like cut off with the deep dub.
Yes.
Like you didn't even have the end of that at that point.
Yeah.
Had already made fan websites and stuff. This was like, I was like in fifth grade-ish.
We were young. Yeah, it was right.
Yeah, and I was like, who is that?
Library.
I don't know these
characters.
And yeah. I just remember like reading all the little character pages for it. I was like, what? What? The Starlights were really confusing to me at the time.
Oh my god. I don't know, AJ, if you know what the Starlights are.
No.
So they're basically a boy band, and then they turned into like these gorgeous women in like straight up, it looks like a Dominatrix outfit. Yeah, like it's straight up. They're like, hot pants.
Yeah, black leather
chokers on. Like, and I was like, I love them. But it's like Lindsay was saying, like, you would, you know, the internet was just coming out at this time. So I'd be like, I love Sailor Moon. Sailor Moon in the Yahoo search. Go. And then it's like,
give you everything. I was like, what are all these manga images? Like, he would put scans up and stuff. Yeah, I could go down memory lane on that for a while. But yeah, it was a safe way to kind of like learn about that kind of stuff as a kid and then sort of get you thinking about it. And then, you know, when you started encountering real people in real life, I already had like fully formed opinions, 100%. You know, like gay marriage wasn't legal yet. And I'm like, that's wrong.
Yeah. No, it's so funny because I actually wonder, I'm sorry, we're getting like super heavy here, but like a lot of times I wonder what I would be like if Sailor Moon had not been in my life. And I know that sounds like kind of silly, but it just gave me exposure to so many things that I'm like, I lived in the middle of nowhere in Colorado, you know what I mean? It was just like stuff like that wasn't even remotely discussed, you know? And I literally would go to the library on the weekends and my mom knew I loved the show, you know, and I would just Google it and she'd be like, what are you doing on there for hours? I'm like, I'm reading fan fiction.
Access to the internet at the time? Knows. Like, was going to the library for the internet?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, a lot of people did that. Like, I had to go there for book reports as a kid and stuff. It's like,
It was a different time, my friend, but definitely. Anyway, sorry. I took us down that rabbit hole with the whole eBay thing, but it is just interesting. Like, I can't believe how much that has evolved. And I guess it's been, I mean, what, Lindsay and I, we're in our like mid-30s now. So it's like, it's been like, we don't look like hair flip, but I mean, like, but we, it's, you know, like, it's crazy to think that it's like been like a little over a decade, maybe like 15 years, and just like how much it's really evolved. I mean, I guess maybe about like 20 years now, but it's still like crazy to me, you know?
Yeah, so. It definitely is.
Well, Jackie, you hit on a good point where it's kind of for better and for worse, where now so much more stuff has evolved. You have more access to so many things, but I don't want to go too much into it, but I think we're kind of all on the same page where it is frustrating that even though things have evolved, people feel the need to course correct more to still keep things hidden like it was 2 decades ago when Sailor Moon first came out.
Yeah.
Where we're still hesitant to have that kind of material in our media. And now it's like, well, we can't guarantee, speaking as someone who was a teenage boy, you'll always find a way to like find this stuff.
Exactly.
I won't get too much into that, but like, and I work with kids as a part of my day job. So I do have that kind of protective nature. It's like, I don't think you should see that. Like when when a 6-year-old kid comes up to me and says, my favorite anime is Soul Eater or something. I'm like, okay.
Probably only like really like absorbing a little.
Yeah, certain aspects, but you remember other parts of that show. And it's like, I think kids and certain people should be able to absorb that content to an extent, but it has to be understood within the context of the content itself, basically. Yeah. But a lot of people don't want to have those conversations. It's easier to just pretend it doesn't exist.
Yeah, so, then talk to your kids.
Then like, to talk to your kids about it or police your kids or explain things to them that they might find weird because I'm not that much younger than you guys, but like, so a similar boat where we had to discover a lot of these things about LGBT plus people, about certain things that even to a kid sound like they should be common sense, but we were just never shown it.
So, yeah.
But on the inverse side, that caused us to constantly ask why, and then we get more media that kind of pushes that boundary. I don't think we're quite at the spot yet. Scratch that. We're definitely not at the spot yet where that stuff should be more accepting, both like people in those LGBT plus spaces as well as sex work, which is real work and like should be celebrated and appreciated way more than it is. But the story with eBay doesn't surprise me, but it is a little bit disappointing. And I wonder when we'll get to a point where companies won't feel like they need to go to that extreme, basically.
Yeah.
No, unfortunately, a lot of it is political. Yeah. Like, and when I say political, it all kind of connects again back to politics and lobby groups and things like that. So, as people who aren't, you know, congressmen and women, best thing I can say to do is, like, if you have a favorite erotic model, pay for their photos,
support them,
send them money. Yeah, support them, send them money. Like, yeah, they're really, you know, they're working it for you. Or if they are creators who create comics of that kind, you know, pay for your doujinshi. Don't just read rips, like, buy it.
Support artists, like, yeah,
support your artists of all kinds.
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
speaking of, like, really old throwbacks, anyone remember the Pokemon trading card game?
Yes.
Do you guys have Pokemon trading cards? Did anyone ever try to tackle you in a Target? Because that's things are getting nuts in the trading card sphere. This isn't just Pokemon. This is also Yu-Gi-Oh! And baseball cards. Mm-hmm. Apparently, you know, people have been cooped up for a long time, tried to find a new hobby. Trading cards are a great collectible hobby. So there was a huge increase in demand, and there weren't enough cards to meet the demand. And, like, you know, some people do when they can't get what they want, they decided to just start harassing people who weren't giving it to them. So as a result, Target, according to the New York Times, is temporarily halting its sales of Pokemon trading cards and sports cards because they're citing it as a threat to the safety of customers and workers. And so they're doing this out of an abundance of caution. Guys, please. Stop.
So, this just, all I can think, I don't know why this is popping into my head, but, you know, you guys know I worked in news for, like, roughly 10 years, and, like, we would literally get the most ridiculous stories out of Florida. Like,
People
will say, like, Google, like, I don't even know, Florida man, and, like, all
Florida
the stories
man.
That come up, you know? And it's just, like, I think working in TV news and just reading all of this stuff, like, I've become so numb to people's stupidity and just stories like this where you're just, like, how are there massive disturbances over cards. But you know what, like, I just, you know, I've time and time again have just seen how stupid people can be, unfortunately. Like, obviously played Pokemon, you know, or played the Game Boy games and was a part of the whole, like, Pokemon card, I don't even know what you'd call it, a movement. It was just, like, freaking nuts, right? Yeah. And actually it's nuts, we have a bunch of them in my like storage in my parents' house, and, like, we want someone to, like, look over them and appraise them, but, like, there's, like, waiting lists super long to get them appraised. Anyways, I'm digress. I get it. I get why people are into them, and it's, like, crazy, but it's just, like, people, like, have some sort of self-control here.
Yeah, it's really just like have some scope for your life. But what is not, you know, what is not getting this pack of cards today mean for you and your life as a whole?
I'm going to blame COVID. I feel like I've blamed COVID for a lot of my bad decisions over the last year.
I blame COVID for, like, how much popcorn I eat and my new addiction to sourdough bread. But I don't think I've ever tried to, like, stick up a Target for Pokemon cards.
I did, like, actually look into this.
All of what is what people, Agent, might be having mental breaks, you know what
COVID
I mean?
COVID is definitely part of it. People are on the internet more, and people are doing more things. Like, people are streaming more, people are setting up OnlyFans more. Like, people are finding, like, online thing ways to entertain themselves as well as to earn money. Do you guys know the unboxing community?
I mean, I know that that's a thing.
Yes, a lot of big influencers, like, I think even one of the Pauls got involved. Basically, it's just you record yourself opening up packs and boxes of cards, and kind of give your, like, either on YouTube or on Twitch, and you basically, like, assess their value, put them aside, talk about them. A lot of influencers got involved in that. And it's always been a thing. It's been around for decades, but a lot of bigger influencers got involved in that space. And then the market just shot off because it became, like, another craze for people to be like, oh, this will do well numbers wise, whether it's on Twitch or YouTube.
Oh, okay. So it's almost like
crazed.
Opening them became, like, a meme of sorts, kind of like.
Kind of. It's sort of like a trading card equivalent of a Let's Play, I guess, where you're watching somebody react in real time to. This is going to sound weird coming from somebody who, like, I grew up playing Yu-Gi-Oh! And then I stopped playing for a bit, and I got back to it in high school and early college. I actually only stopped recently because I had to make that hard decision of, I can't keep spending money on these things. Yeah. I'm an adult. I need to adult.
Yeah.
I actually have a, I still have my recent collection from like only a generation ago, like 3 feet away from me. No, I love the cards. I love the artwork and everything, but there was something magical about me and my college friends. We would go down to our local store every month. There was like a new pack that came out and we would get the, we'd buy a bunch of boxes and we would just sit down, open them all together and compare cards and everything. There was something magical kind of about that. And a lot of people like to translate that to vlog. Basically, it's like an offshoot of vlogging. And what people do with stuff like that, like when they record themselves cooking or they record themselves building a PC, but it became its own bigger community. And then you have basically whenever a bigger influencer says, I'm going to try that, the market kind of just takes off. So it is definitely, COVID is definitely part of it, but I looked up and that seems to also be a major contributing factor as well. At the very least for why it's so random, because Pokemon cards have always been a Pokemon Yu-Gi-Oh cards have always been a thing, but
yeah.
When a certain eye pays attention to it, that shifts so many other eyes to it, and then suddenly it becomes all hands on deck. But don't be stupid and fight people in the parking lot for them, because they look nice, but no, don't. It's not worth it.
Save it for Black Friday.
But
don't actually. Please be nice to retailers on Black Friday too. But
it's wild that like literally a company has to put like in protocol to deal with the situation.
That's the
crazy thing about it. But again, humans.
Humans.
We're interesting.
Humans in weird conditions.
Yeah. Yes, indeedy. Is that our last headline? We're going to talk about Castlevania a little bit, right?
Yeah. You guys will finish that, and I heard that there were some thoughts about the big reveals. If anyone else is also in the chat has finished watching Castlevania, we've got an ending explained video up. If there was anything you still had questions on, Jackie broke that down because she's our resident Castlevania fanatic. And then we've also got a review up from James Beckett over on AnimeNewsNetwork.com and a couple of other related articles. So if you need to get your Jackie Castlevania news fix. Yes, and an interview. Jackie also did an interview. I knew there was another thing. So
there was a lot of things.
There's a lot to talk about with Castlevania because it was kind of the big, it's kind of interesting. I didn't realize it until just now. Castlevania was kind of one of the big, super big chances that Netflix took a few years ago as far as original animation goes. And it paid off in a big way. Mm-hmm. And now it's over. It feels like it's been around longer than it actually has. I think it's only been around for 3 years, if you think about it, across the four seasons.
Yeah.
It hasn't been that
really long, 3 years.
Yeah, it has been. I mean, 2020 was basically a decade. So,
for real.
But, Jackie, what were your thoughts on how everything kind of concluded?
Man, okay, so like, I've done like so much content around Castlevania like recently. And I think like for me, I used to work at IGN. So when I worked at IGN, they were like, we want you to, you know, watch the show and to interview Adi Shankar, who was like the executive producer. And so like, I was kind of like assigned to this show before it got like hype, you know what I mean? And so like, it's just been kind of interesting to like watch it finally reach its conclusion here, at least for this series. I think there's chat about a spinoff and all that stuff. But for me, and I actually like, I posted something on my own YouTube page about it, but I was not the biggest fan of season three. I absolutely adored the first season, which was really just a couple episodes, and then the second season. And the third season, to me, I felt like they introduced a lot of new characters that I wasn't really the biggest fan of. I thought that they like added a lot of elements that I was just like, where is this all coming from? I also thought that the shock factor got really taken up a notch. But on my video that I posted, there was a bunch of people who were like, how could you dislike season three? Like, they loved it. So I think that season three is pretty contentious. I think people either loved it or they didn't like it. So for me, I was kind of reluctant going into this final season, to be completely honest, because I was just like, how are they going to wrap this all up? There's so many characters that have been introduced, like, you know, a really big like storyline. I'm like, how are they going to wrap this all up? And they actually did a really good job. And I'll be honest, like parts of it I thought were buttoned up a little bit too nicely, but I thought considering how much they introduced in season three, I thought that they found a way to end it in a very entertaining way. And my biggest gripes were I wanted to see Trevor, Alucard, and Sycamore. And I don't want to go into like spoiler territory too much, but you know, basically like I wanted to see the protagonists a little bit more, but overall, like I really liked what they did with the villain. I thought there was really surprising elements. The choreography was exceptional. And it really is it's beautiful animation, you know? And while some things were buttoned up a little bit too nicely, I think, AJ, the most shocking thing to me was I was expecting it to end really dark. And it ended really happy.
It's a complete 180 from the end of season 3.
Yeah. And actually, Lindsay said this to me while we were having, like, you know, private discussions. You know, we're always, like, messaging each other. And she said that James, you know, he felt the same way in his review. You know, and I don't really know how much... I guess, you know, we all know that there was a lot of controversy around Mr. Ellis, you know what I mean? And his scripts. And, you know, we actually asked Kevin Cold, like, straight up, like, were these scripts used, you know? And he was very short about it. Like, I told Lindsay, like, you know, during the interview, he was like, the scripts were used. And I was like, okay, well, how much, you know, like, did you guys use parts, blah, blah, blah. And he, like, cut me off. And he was like, we used Warren Ellis's scripts. You know what I mean? And then I was like, okay, cool. Like, you know what I mean? I was like, got it. So next question, Easter eggs. You know what I mean? Like, let's do like a hard pivot here, you know? But I wonder how much they actually used. And, you know, like it just seemed like the tone had changed and shifted a lot to me.
Oh, okay. So you're thinking that maybe it was like there was some rewrite maybe going on.
I don't know. Yeah. Like, or maybe there was this happy ending that was always planned out a long time ago. And I don't know if we'll ever really know, but I think just seeing how dark and heavy and how manipulative and conniving and how evil some of the characters were in season 3, to see them suddenly have a really big change of heart. And then just a lot of things, just like I said, it just like came together really happily. I was just like, okay, well, this was not what I was expecting for ending of Castlevania, but AJ, what was your take?
I do agree with most of what you said. It was, my biggest complaint is, well, it's kind of two. My biggest complaint is one, everything did wrap up a little bit too neatly. Even where I think a little bit of a sadness would have been fine with what they set up, they're like, no, everything is fine. And I'm like, okay. Like I watched it with my friend. It was like 3 a.m. or something when we finished it, because we marathoned it all at once. Yeah. I don't usually marathon shows, but I promised her we would marathon it together. And it's like, we kind of looked at each other when it's over. It's like, did this show just have a happy, like a super happy ending?
It was really happy, yeah.
Complete role reversal from season 4. And you brought up how maybe there was some, I do know season 3 is contentious. I know some people don't like it because of all the setup. I know there's some people that love how dark and unapologetic it is. Yeah. I know there are some people that, like us, are a little bit like, I don't think you needed to go that far with it. And I would have been willing to give that a chance if he, because it seemed like they were going for a darkest hour moment, where it's like a trope in literature where we got to show everybody their absolute worst, and then they'll rise up and it'll be that much more rewarding. Considering what they do in season 4, Alucard did not need to go through what he did in season 3. Hands down, he did not need to go through what he did in season 3. They don't even address it. Like, you could skip part of season 3 and you would lose absolutely nothing, I think.
Yeah, it was like, he was like, I went through, and I don't even think you need to, you know, this isn't spoiling too much or anything. He went through some really traumatic stuff in season 3, and then all of a sudden season 4, he's just like, I'm going to go help out this village.
Yeah, like he looks like crap at the beginning, but I'm like, if the whole point was to get him to not trust humanity that much, it never comes up at all. It's sort of like, You could have erased the small background detail that shows that's what happened to him in season 3. I don't think you would have loved. We could have never seen Alucard in season 3, and I think could have picked up right where he left off.
But like, wasn't necessary to his character development at all.
It wasn't.
Really brutal stuff.
Yeah.
Like, really, frankly, sexual, perverse, violent. Like, I was like, you know, in this was season three. This is what season three, like they were like trying to go hard on that stuff, you know? So I don't know.
I think the whole point, I thought at the time, the point was for him to not trust humanity as much, because it's like, even like these innocent people that he's helping can turn on you. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, it is. He is kind of like that in the games. He doesn't fully trust humans a lot of the time. Maybe this is, I don't like it, but maybe this is to set up how he'll be in the future, maybe in a time skip or something. First off, this season takes place 6 weeks after season three. Mm-hmm. And yeah, someone comes and asks him for help, and he, a town just asks him for help, and he helps. That's not like, a major spoiler in like the first episode.
He literally,
yeah, I'll do it.
His literal reaction is like,
okay.
Okay. Like, I was like,
but he makes a joke. Oh, I'm turning into, that was my dog. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'm turning into Belmont, like begrudgingly helping people. I'm like, what's your arc, dude?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Okay.
I don't know
but
what
you know
it
what?
Was.
AJ, I think it's because, and we will never really know, like,
I can
why
see.
Why is this ending the way it was? How much were the scripts used? I mean, it just seemed like a total tonal shift to me. And then also just like the introduction of so many characters. Someone in chat just said Struga is hands down the best sister. So love Struga. God, I honestly love the whole Council of Sisters, and they straight up got canceled in season four, like hard. Like, it was like, why were they even introduced to be Frank?
Like,
yeah,
I liked the conclusions that they came to, but it was also, it almost felt like, this could sound like a really weird comparison. It kind of reminds me of the pushback that happened with the Star Wars movies.
Oh, yeah.
Where a lot of people people didn't like some of the things in The Rise of Skywalker. So now you have a whole movie that's basically like, The Last Jedi. Well, The Rise of Skywalker in response to The Last Jedi.
Right.
Like, okay, this movie is kind of going to be an apology, let's just quickly undo what happened there, because a lot of the, and here's the funny thing.
I agree with you 100%.
The season on its own, I think it's good. I think I only question is pretty good. I like some of the conclusions. Like the whole thing with Hector and Isaac, I thought was the best part of the season and was like the most emotional I got, especially with Isaac and the conclusion that he comes to. Especially considering like a little bit of representation. He's a black queer monk who starts off wanting to destroy humanity. And that is kind of a trope in media where you do want to, where the black guy gets so angry, the outsider black guy wants to just destroy everything and until someone redeems it. But no, he has those feelings, realizes there's more to life than that, teaches himself humility and forgiveness. Calm down, boy. I'm very sorry. My dog has social anxiety.
He's worried about it.
Yeah. And I like that. I like everything with Hector. And the arcs the sisters came to made sense, but it's a huge leap from where they were in season three.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they're straight up evil in season three. And now it's like, do you really want to keep doing this forever? I'm like, are you kidding me? Like,
yeah. I'm not going to lie. The only one who went down with the ship, I don't want to go into spoilers, but like that was probably one of the most epic moments for me.
Oh,
like,
no,
I
was that like, was
okay,
very
at
I'm
least like, she's the one who's like, let's go. Like, and it's like, she's completely maniacal and bat, but it was just kind of like, I don't know. Like, it was just crazy. It just seemed like things sudden, like a la carte suddenly being like, yeah, let's go help the villagers. And then like the sisters being like, a lot of them just, I'm having second thoughts about it. I was just like, they just had to get it over with apparently. Yeah. And then I straight up, I'm like, Trevor, a la carte and Sypha, like, I just felt like we didn't see enough of them. And then they introduced new characters, which I get like to try to get to the end, but I just felt like, I was like, dude, this is the final season. Like, let's like focus on the three that we like came to love so deeply.
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah.
I don't know. So I think that it was fun. It was entertaining. It felt safe. Am I wrong, AJ? It did.
That's
not.
That's a good
feel...
way to describe it. It felt like a very safe wrap up to everything. And sorry. You questioned whether or not they used all of his scripts. The weird thing is the dialogue and the character interactions still felt completely natural, completely like what we had before. It's the story beats. I do wonder if maybe he was setting something else up, and then they're like, you know what, we're only going to give this one more season. Let's just wrap everything up here as maybe as we could. And it's like, technically there wasn't anything bad about it. It just felt like, I think it sticks out a lot more comparatively. I'm sorry. We can move on to the next thing. Let me just get my dog out of the room.
No, you're good. The last thing that I wanted to say, and again, I hope we're not stirring the pot too much here, but Adi Shankar used to be like very vocal, obviously, about this series.
Twitter. You talked to me about this a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, this was his baby. Like when I talked to him, we literally were scheduled to have a 15-minute interview like 2 or 3 years ago, and then he just like gushed about this project and his, quite frankly, like one of his masterpieces. Like he's created a lot of video projects, but this one is obviously like so potent and powerful. And guy hasn't tweeted since like 2020.
Oh, I hope he's okay. Or maybe he's just really involved with some other project right now that he can't talk about. There's a lot of reasons.
Yeah, but it's just like you'd think with the final season, like something. I actually want to see if he's posted anything about the final season, but I guess it was like, when you told me I was going to be doing the interview, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be talking to Adi again. And then it was Kevin, you know, and then, he hasn't tweeted since fall of 2020. So, I mean, we don't know.
Yeah, it's all speculative, but
it's just like, it's just the whole thing. Just, I guess what AJ was saying, it just seems like safe and damage control or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm just like, there's so many unanswered questions that we'll probably never know. But without a doubt, I can say that it was a series that changed Netflix, undoubtedly. Like AJ said, like this was a Netflix original. They took a giant risk and look what's come out of it. I mean, they have Dota. They have what was that Zeus show that everybody was going nuts about that
I didn't watch.
They've literally created this. And I do think the popularity of that animated series kind of got them to dive into anime even more. You know what I mean? Now they've been picking up all these titles, unfortunate for us, because then it gets stuck in Netflix jail and we're all like,
yeah, I'm still waiting for Beastars.
Sorry
to cut it short, is that I want to make sure we still get to My Hero Academia. We might go over a little bit. And I also want to tell everyone to stick around because we have a giveaway that we're going to start right now. So get your typing fingers ready. Let's see if Peter or I think Jackie could drop the link into the chat. We have a trivia question for you about My Hero Academia. And you can think about your answer while you watch this unboxing video, because this is what you could win.
Hello, everybody. Guess what I got here from Loot Crate? It is a Mobile Suit Gundam Life Crate. And I cannot wait to pop this open and check out all the goodies. But just to tell you a little bit about this crate here. So Loot Crate said that their mission with the Gundam Life Crate is to bring Gundam fans lifestyle products of form factors rarely seen available outside of Japan. Everything inside will be 100% officially licensed and exclusive to this limited release. Once sold out, these babies are gone for good, so make sure you get your hands on them. So let's get to it, and I'm going to start unboxing this guy. Holy crap. So, okay, first is a Wing Gundam in MS mode in flight shirt. This is absolutely gorgeous. I mean, look at this shirt. I love it. And then there's the Wing Gundam dad hat, apparently. I'm going to be wearing that. Oh my gosh, it looks cute. Okay, this just completed the fit for real. Because we're older and cultured and a hat with horns is silly, this is the hat for a dad. And, or a 34-year-old single woman. But anyway, premium white and for flex ability on stream. Like, if you're flexing. Okay, I'm going to stop talking. There's also the MS Gundam Wing Planner Notepad. Oh my gosh, this is bringing me back to my youth right now. I used to love little like anime notebooks. Like I had a bunch of Sailor Moon and like Dragon Ball and a bunch of Sanrio ones. Oh my gosh, look at the notepad. It's recreated line art from original aged assets. I will be using it as a coloring book, so great. And then there is this MS Gundam Life collectible mug. Gotta be gentle here. This is so cute. Look at cry. I mean, this has to be my new favorite mug. I mean, I'm never going to use this mug. It's just going to be on display because it's just way too precious to have. Oh, but that's on my shelf. It looks great, right? Perfect. Gundam Sand Rock Shield Bottle Opener. Okay, it's exactly what your fridge asked for. A magnetic shield made of solid Gundanium alloy to protect itself from a military tyranny. Okay, you just have it on your refrigerator, and then when you just need to open a can. Boop. Official military issue pin badge, everybody. Take a look at that guy, okay? Terrorize your fridge properly or pose as a member among the ranks if you're a freedom fighter. So super cute. Oh my gosh, I absolutely loved this. I loved all of the items in here. The shirt was great. The hat was great. The bottle opener will definitely be getting some use out of that guy. And the little mug is up there. I love the little coloring book. This is awesome. So make sure that you get one of these loot crates if you can. Again, it is the Gundam Life Crate. And we got your back, right? We got a 15% off coupon code for you. Just type in ANN10. And also, we're going to put a link to all this information in the description below. So make sure you click that. Oh my God, I love my stuff. Yay. I love my hat.
I switched headphones. I don't know why. For some reason, like, I can only hear Jackie through, I think, like, one side.
Oh, no.
Okay, yeah.
It could have been an editing issue, my bad.
Yeah, and the, like, cheapy little ones I have, like, specifically that one doesn't work, so I could only hear the background music.
The music?
Yeah, and I was like, but yeah, I went ahead.
Yeah, music.
Yeah.
Well, it was basically just a bunch of dope stuff. I'm wearing the hat. I mean, like, if you're a fan of Gundam at all, like, you need to have this crate. Like,
that hat is super cute.
Dope. I know that it's supposed to be a dad hat, is what they call it. I was like,
yeah, that's what they call those. No, they're not called baseball caps anymore. They're called dad hats.
Are they really? Like,
yes.
How about a 34-year-old single woman's hat? Because I was like, I'm working this. And then, honestly, that little mug is gorgeous. Like, it's like a little masterpiece. Like, I was like, I would have paid like $50 for that. I have no idea how much it normally costs, but it's like really nice, high quality. So
yeah.
Anyway, we'll see who all participated. So
yeah, I'll announce the winner at the very end after we're done talking about My Hero Academia. So everyone has a few chances to get in their entry. We want to know, I didn't say it before we started, but the question is, what is Tenya Iida, aka Ingenium's new super move that we saw in the last episode? And I think he also used it in the episode right before that. So if you remember what that is, go ahead and put that into the form at the link below, and you can win yourself a free Gundam loot crate. It is only open to US and Canada residents. I'm sorry about that. I can't do anything about it though. So if you're in the US or Canada, you can win. So we'll announce the winner here in just a minute. But first, I think we want to talk about what happened in My Hero Academia. There was some great action going on in the most recent episode. Like, I was pretty much like, weighing in, like, immediately into it when we got to see Iida.
Yes.
Like, he got some really cool moments, and so did Todoroki. AJ, do you want to catch us up on what happened last week?
I would be happy to. So last week, we started off round three of Class 1A versus Class 1B during these hero and villain our combat matches, where each side needs to try to capture the other side and put them in this adorable little cage before time runs out. Last time, we started off the match with Class A, we had Shoji, Ojiro, Todoroki, and Iida versus Tetsu, Pony. Oh, that name.
I'll never get over it.
Pony, Kaibara, and Juzo. And right at the beginning of the match, after all of that strategizing and planning that happened in the first two matches, basically just turns into a free-for-all where everyone is trying to fight each other.
Yeah.
Todoroki tries to capture everybody in ice. while while the rest of Class 1A sprouts out to try to capture them. But Juzo has an ability that allows him to basically melt anything that he touches. So he was able to melt the ice and everyone ostensibly split off. We had Ojiro versus Kaibara, who has this cool little corkscrew quirk that allows him to twist and spin his body parts. Pony was versing off against Shoji. Tetsu was beginning to break the ice and head towards Todoroki. And Ida ended the episode by showing us his new ability, which I will not name, that through all of his training that allowed him to basically do his burst move from the previous seasons, but this time for 10 straight minutes. And he ended the episode by going right after Juzo. This episode picks off right where that one left off with beautiful animation by Nakamura, who is a well-known animator in the industry. He's worked on My Hero Academia a bunch of times. He's worked on other acclaimed shows like Dragon Ball Super and I believe even Soul Eater. It's the bright colored smear type of animation that he's sort of most well known for. And we see that in brilliant effect as Ida zips all over the place as he's trying to catch Juzo off guard, so much so that he actually says, yeah, I can't fully control it when I'm going at top speed just yet. But you can't stop me, basically. And Juzo, realizing that he is at a disadvantage, melts himself into the ground and tries to swim away, making a tactical retreat. Ida, realizing instead of going after Juzo, decides to turn his attention to the fight between Ojiro, Tail Dude, and Kaibara, and basically just yeets Kaibara away from the fight and throws him right in jail. I especially love the fact that Kaibara is kind of getting, basically calling him a stick in the mud. Like, come on, man. Like, it was a one-on-one fight. You don't just do something like that. He's like, yeah, I've been called that a lot.
But, I bet he has. He's a stickler for the rules, you know. He's the most, like, kind of upstanding justice one. Well, I mean, Deku is too, but I mean, he's very, like...
He's very, like, precise.
Yes.
Yeah, Deku has gray. I think that, like... Yeah, very much, like, routine. He'd be a Virgo, let's be honest. I wonder what his sign is. Bakugo is an Aries.
Oh, of course.
100%. And Todoroki's a Pisces, which I totally see,
surprised
too.
Surprised they didn't make him a Gemini.
Oh... Ooh, but he doesn't have like the fun, like spontaneity no offense. Yeah. I love Geminis, but they can be a little extra. He's definitely like, you know,
yeah.
Todoroki.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. On the level.
He's another one of those sad emo boys. I'm literally looking up Ada's astrology right now.
Okay. While you do that, I'll keep going. So yeah, they managed to get Kaibara captured. And meanwhile, we have, but Ojiro's very, very beat up. Meanwhile, we have Tetsu basically going after Todoroki, and Todoroki, realizing that he's just breaking through all of his ice, tries to turn up the heat. But Tetsu has trained in an oven, apparently, literally.
Like a kiln, I think it was, is what it looked like, a pottery kiln. Like
one of those stone ovens, basically. Yeah. And he can handle intense heat to a point. So he basically said, oh, you want an endurance fight? Let's go. So he's just trying to wail on Todoroki while Todoroki just keeps trying to put up his fire. And he's having this internal struggle about how he's still sort of subconsciously holding back.
Oh, he was triggered for sure. Like, I like to write that down. Like, it was like, I'm not going to lie, this scene was...
It was hard to watch, wasn't
heavy
it?
For me. Yeah, I thought it was hard to watch.
Yeah.
I also was actually really impressed with Tetsu, to be honest. Like, I always kind of thought he was, like, a joke, and...
Just sort of a knockoff kind of like, Red Riot, yeah.
Totally, 100%. And I was like, oh my god, he's going against Todoroki. We already know how, like, this is going to go down. But it was just interesting. Like, I felt like he really held his own. Mind you, Todoroki was extremely triggered by that whole... you know, I don't think that Tetsu was trying to do it, but
either. It just so happened that all of the things he was choosing to say to him could also could be taken as like similar traumatic statements that he had heard from his own father,
who still
needs to be thrown in a volcano. That's my opinion on Endeavor. Throw him in a volcano. I won't be satisfied until he is just...
No, you know what's even worse than a volcano is being left on red for the rest of his life.
Yeah, that's true.
That's pretty brutal. We already saw his reaction. Yeah, so
I'm suffering in a way, just not...
Yeah. By the way, that is still probably one of the better comedic scenes. And we all know MHA has some great comedic scenes, but for some reason I was dying because it's just like Endeavor gets whatever he wants. You know what I mean? Like just used to like literally bulldozing his way through everything. And so it's like this little phone and he's looking at these messages and I just was like, this is just cruel. But like... Yeah. Hilarious for him to be tortured in that way, but yes.
Agree.
I digress, sorry.
But yeah, he Tetsu is basically saying like, oh, you gotta do more than this, you gotta turn up the heat, and he's flashing back to what Endeavor, the training that Endeavor put him through, and how he had a minor breakthrough. Well, it was a major breakthrough, but still not to the degree that I think he needed it from his fight with Deku during the sports festival, where he's still hesitant to go full power, like we saw this in the flashback before, where his dad's signature move, where he basically just goes nuclear, and he's like, I can't bring myself to do that just yet. But he does like pull as much fire as he can out of himself, to the point where even, and this is probably some of the most angry we've heard Todoroki, like his voice actor, give for that kind of performance.
Yeah,
and Tetsu's like, damn it, it's really hot, but I'm still going to keep going. So it literally does turn into an endurance
death.
And it almost looks haunting what's happening, because he's literally like turning white from the fire. Like that's how hot he's turning.
I'm starting to worry, like, is he going to melt? And we got to and I think, AJ, sorry if I'm cutting you off here. We got to see it look like Todoroki was on the verge of like unleashing a new move of some sort, because he gets that ball of like, and he's about to yell something, but then is it Ida again who interrupts them?
No, it was Juzo who interrupts.
Yeah. So we didn't get to see what that was going to be, like as far as where that was going to go yet.
Yep, we're still being teased. Not yet. So Juzo does show up, melts the ground beneath both of them, and as well as all of, like, the surrounding area, a lot of the pillars begin to fall. One of them hits Todoroki on, I just hit myself, hits Todoroki on the back of the head and nearly makes him pass out.
Yeah.
And just when Juzo's like, haha, I'm just going to submerge and capture you guys, and then we're going to put you in the cage. We won. Ida comes right out of nowhere, bashes him in the back of the head, cracks off his mask, and he's like, nope. He quickly assesses the situation. He's like, I could take him or Tetsu to the cage, but Todoroki's really hurt, and he flashes back to when he confronted Stain and
his brother.
Right? With his brother, and how like he was more concerned with revenge and getting the bad guy than actually helping people.
Yeah.
Of all people, a villain taught him a lesson where it's like, people matter first, like get people to safety first before fighting a villain, because they'll always be collateral.
Yeah.
So he quickly takes Todoroki and he's like, okay, I'm going to put him to a safe spot and then I'll come back for them. And Juzo, who's about to pass out, he's like, oh, I don't want to lose. I really don't want to let my teammates down. He starts flashing back to what everybody else did. He's like, I can't do anything impressive like that, but I'm not going to give up. Like this whole thing.
It's like,
was
but I can liquefy a water tower.
Yes. So. The whole thing was a match of endurance. So right before he loses consciousness, he liquefies a tower. He's like, Tetsu, hit this. And the dude literally runs up, bashes his head against it, causes the whole tower to fall down. And the
hilarious, by the way, just like him running at it.
Ida just manages to throw Todoroki out of the way. The liquefied tower falls on him. Juzo passes out. And he says, like, when I pass out, everything I liquefy will get solid. So Ida is basically underneath solid concrete, ostensibly. And he tries to burst out, but he realizes, oh, my arm and leg aren't working, because while he was holding the spring guy, he kept spinning and hurting him while he was getting him I almost didn't catch it, too, and I'll get to that in a second. There are a lot of quick things that are said, because you had a question. Lindsay, and I'll get
Pony.
To that. Yes.
Yeah.
Moving to the last match, which was between Pony and Shoji, Pony realize, the two of them realize, oh, we're the only people left. Okay, let me take, Shoji's like, if I just take out Pony, then I can just carry everybody to, I could carry everybody to the cage. And Pony's like, I gotta, she's trying to debate, do I take somebody to a cage? Do I carry my friend? She tries to do both. And you ask, why couldn't she just like take Todoroki straight to the cage? It's because she was carrying her friends. It was slowing her down. And she realized that if she left them behind, then Shoji could have just taken them both and went back to the cage. They would have lost because she can only control four of her horns at the same time.
So I also wanted to issue an apology to Tentacle / Shoji. I know that I've said that you're disgusting and that your arms freak me out and you are not an ideal partner. And that was mean. He brought up in this episode that he's used to people being scared of him. And I genuinely felt bad. Like he knew that I had been talking shit and I felt bad. So I wanted to apologize. You're a good boy and you're just kind of funny looking and that's okay. And your octopus arms are okay with me. That's all.
Last week you were Pony in this episode where she's, I don't think like in a mean way, but she's basically saying like, yeah, you're kind of weird. So I'm just going to like stay away from you basically.
Wait, she wanted to talk about being weird.
Huh?
Who?
We're talking about Pony, right?
Yeah, Pony said that like Shoji, like she keeps calling him Tentacool or Tentacruel.
Tentacool is his that's his hero name. Yeah.
They're all kind of weird, aren't they?
She's a horse.
She is a horse.
On
ice skates.
Like, yeah. I want to see, like, everyone says that his face is like, I want to see his face. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, what? I don't know. I think he has a great haircut and he's well built and he's just got weird arms. Like, I don't know. Like, for me, it's like, I don't see why everybody's so afraid of him.
In the MHA universe, he could do worse.
Tail guy's tail is creeps that's, me out.
Yeah. That's,
I do like how they made a joke about him very early on where. I don't know if it was Vlad or someone giving commentary, but like, and he's just doing hand-to-hand combat with Kaibara, and someone says, oh yeah, that's a very ordinary thing that he does. Like, everyone acknowledges that he is the least interesting of the class, basically, because his power is just, I have a tail.
Yeah, a strong tail. I did a couple of, like, gross wobbly things in this episode, too.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm really judgy of these heroes, but I'm just like.
I know Lindsay's just like, I don't like his arms. The tail is doing a weird wobbly thing, but then she loves the mushroom girl who like almost destroyed someone's lungs. But it's fine. It's all good.
That is true. We've all got our kinks, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, we're all partial to. I like the one who's like super emo. So
yeah.
We all got our faves.
Yeah. Yeah.
TLDR: the match ended in a draw because Pony managed to get Shoji in Tail Dude. I keep getting his name confused.
Did you say Shoji like from Naruto?
Ojiro and Shoji. They're very similar.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Then you said Shoji from.
No. Shoji.
Like, oh my god, I love him. Great character.
I'm confusing his name, but yeah, Pony managed to get Tail Dude in the cage, so they both had one person in a cage. Yeah. And her realizing that she was basically in a lose-lose scenario, it's either I take Todoroki back to the cage, but then he'll put both of my friends who are passed out in the cage and will lose, or I can't fight him because he's a lot stronger than I think we all gave him credit for, with like his multiple fists and everything, mm-hmm. and the fact that he can technically observe things 100% around him. And so she took the safe route. She flew up high where nobody can get her, and she just waited until the timer ran out. Both of them had one person in the cage, so this is our first official draw.
Yeah, it's a legit strategy, but some of the other students actually got mad at her for doing that. I think Bakugo was like, was it Bakugo? Or
yeah, he's Nana? Like, she ran away, basically.
Yeah.
And I think someone corrected her, Beast, basically chimed in. He's like, you do know that running away and like assessing a situation and waiting for backup to come up is a legit strategy and something that you kind of need to do sometimes. Like, you can't just go in guns a-blazing with everything. Because then everybody loses. And they're like, yeah, I guess you're right. And we just quickly.
Bakugo would not understand that. But yes, that is definitely another strategy.
Well, maybe not past Bakugo, but we'll see next week.
Yeah. Oh, he's good. They're losing. Bakugo is just too arrogant. He's just going to learn his lesson again.
Yeah,
I feel... love Bakugo. He's one of my favorites. I mean, honestly, Tokiyami's come in so huge this year. Bakugo is my favorite by a landslide. And now I'm like, oh, I'm like kind of between the two. But even the end of that episode, I was just like, Bakugo is just like too, trying way too hard. There is, you know.
I also felt his lineup was like, I mean, I agree right on the other guys, but I was like, Bakugo, you kind of, I mean, you're definitely the powerhouse out of these four. I mean, I really like Earphone Jack. Mm-hmm. Like, I like her as a character, like, but I know that as a, and she's got some cool reconnaissance stuff that she could do, but she's not really a fighter. And then who else is he teamed up with?
It's the tape guy and then
Sugar guy.
Oh, sugar guy. I'm not gonna lie, that was 100% my thought process too, Lindsay. I was like, Sugar guy ain't gonna say anything to Bakugo. Like, we already know that. And Jiren, I feel like she's just gonna be like, she doesn't care enough. Like, she, you know what I mean? She's like, I'm not gonna argue with you. Like, she already knows it's like, I don't know, maybe she'll get a little feisty with him, but I feel like she's one of those who's smart enough to be like, he's just not rational. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then Tape Man, I mean, he's just kind of just a little
good. The guy dispenses tape from his elbows. And I'm once again gonna be a jerk and say, that's kind of gross.
I guess
like they frame him more like a Spider-Man thing. I don't know, it's when they start having weird things,
protrusions and things,
just like, it is like,
I'm surprised that creeps you out more than the people that actually have mutations in their body. Like, we got a dude that looks like a snake on
that's
the other
fine
team.
That's fine, he's just like a monster guy. I can roll with the monster guy, it's just, as long as he's not like human looking except for one weird thing coming out of his joints,
it's
then
the
I'm
uncanny
okay.
valley I guess
I yeah. guess so yeah so is that what he is he like a snake, because I thought maybe he was more like a centipede, was what it was reminding me of,
reptile.
Is it a reptile?
I don't know. I thought that was my conjecture.
Nick in the comments says, wow, Lindsay, see if he helps you wrap Christmas presents this year. You know what? I don't want his biological tape all over my Christmas presents. That's like someone spitting all over your Christmas presents, isn't it?
I just thought that led me down a very dangerous train of thought with like everybody else's abilities and stuff. But the episode does end on a bit of a cliffhanger with regards to, speaking of snakes, the girl in the snake like leotard.
Yeah.
She is the other recommendation student for the academy. Juzo was the first one in class 1B. She is the second one.
She's like young Midnight is who she reminds me of. Like,
she does young
Midnight vibes. I'm hoping she's really cool given the fact that, you know, it seems like another lean in on the fan service factor with her. And I'm like, okay,
she's sultry.
We get it. But like, I hope she's also really cool. I know she's popular on Pixiv.
Yeah, she's popular. Yeah, I've seen like a lot of people posting about her, so we'll see. But I just think Bakugo, he ain't got the lineup, man. And he's not, I love Bakugo.
I feel like we're very
similar, and I can, you know, be not the best at thinking through things and just kind of react.
My instinct has never failed me.
Exactly.
Why would I try and strategize now?
And I feel like he's just so young and immature. Like, he does not have, I think people give Bakugo a really hard time and they think he's super selfish and he doesn't care about other people. But I think that there have been moments where he's proven that's not the case. I just think he doesn't think through things very well. And so I just don't know how well he's going to be leading the team properly. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that he might just be like going all out and just not thinking through. But then this last matchup, we saw Ida, who I thought like played everything to a T, and he kind of just went screw it, you know. But so like, I don't know. But I just feel like
it could be a good like learning opportunity for Bakugo at least. Like, if they do lose, this could be something that gets him to start thinking more tactically and more as a like what's important from a leadership goal. Like, you can't be a leader if your expectation is everyone just listens to everything you say. So this could be something that he learns and is able to adapt from, either during this fight, or if he doesn't, you know, if he doesn't lose, he might figure it out during the fight or whatever. So
I can't wait to see.
Room for growth. Yeah.
I can't wait to see, because we all know he ain't he's a sore loser, to say the least.
Yeah.
If he loses, it ain't going to be pretty. So
on Team B, we didn't talk about, there's a guy who, is it a bell he has for a head?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like a wick, kind of.
Oh, like for a candle?
Yeah.
For a candle? Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of like there are certain like lanterns and stuff that are sort of shaped like that.
Okay.
And I think they're designed specifically to retain as much wax as possible. When you see him use his power, it'll kind of make sense.
Okay. Yeah. It does give me like a Pokemon Ghost vibe for some reason.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. I got very Halloween-y.
Yeah.
I got Halloween vibes for sure.
And then guy with bandana, we don't really know anything about him yet. And his costume doesn't really give us much to work with. So, like, who do we have left then for facing Deku? I mean, we know that Shinso is going to face Deku. I was also, like, off in count. Like, I forgot. I thought that after the Todoroki one, it was going to be the final. Like, I thought it was just going to be Bakugo, Deku, and, like, two other people, and then this arc was over. But actually, it looks like we've got probably four more episodes of this particular arc.
He's definitely going against Mo, right? Monoma?
I thought
it was Shota, the one with the Dragon Ball Z scouter. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of who else.
There's a girl named Draco.
Yeah, the one who looks like she works at McDonald's. She's got
Yes.
Oh my god, that's the only reason I remember because she looks like she's got a fast food outfit. Like, it's
yeah. Yeah,
I met the dead look in her eyes.
Oh no! No, I meant her outfit purely, not her demeanor. That's funny.
Yeah.
Do you think this fight, AJ, is going to go for two whole episodes, like based on what you know about the manga content, or does it wrap up pretty?
I think it can potentially wrap up with this episode.
Oh, in a single
episode. It depends on how much they want to draw out the action. There is an arc during this match, and I'm not saying anything because you guys are doing all the setup for me without even realizing it, probably. But yeah, next match will be an interesting one, especially if you're a Bakugo fan.
There you go, Jackie.
We haven't seen enough from him. I'm getting bored. I'm like, I want to see my boy in action.
I know. It's been so long since we saw Blackbird Man. My brain.
Tokuyami, we haven't
seen him in a while. I already miss him.
Bakugo is like, I vibed with Bakugo so early on. Like, I love him. And I'm like, I just want to see how he's going to be in action. I don't have a great feeling about his leadership skills. He still needs a lot of growth, but I'm interested to see how this all plays out. And I think, like, Lindsay made a good point. If he loses, I want to see, like, how this affects his ego.
Yeah,
because that's the biggest thing Bakugo needs to get over. Like, all of them have their beep, for lack of a better word. Like, Todoroki needs to go through some real, like,
counseling
when it comes to
Bakugo needs therapy too.
The trauma with his dad. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, Bakugo definitely has some, like, serious anger management issues that he needs to sort out. He's incredibly impulsive. Like, they all have their stuff. When you think about it, like, you're like, these are kids. And it's like, Ida's brother, I always say that wrong.
Yeah, they've survived like so much.
Yeah.
For their age.
And then they're so cheerful and like adorable sometimes. And you're just like, I mean, that's
like, they've gone through legit trauma, like literally just a few weeks ago.
Yeah. I mean, it's so is life, right? But I think that's why we all love this show so much, is because they're just so young and you're just like, how are they all going to evolve? You know, so.
And they're impressionable. It's even in this, even during this match, this was a match less of strategizing and more of quick decision.
Yeah.
Making, like,
adaptability.
Adaptability. You really have to think in the moment. Because especially like if you go into a service job, like a firefighter or something, which is ostensibly what heroes are. It's a similar field of helping people during crises. You got to make those split second decisions. And we see people like Ida, where it's like his trauma allowed him to make the smart decision. Maybe not the best decision. Maybe they could have won if he did something differently, but it was definitely the smart decision that in a real situation would have been the one. Him and Pony made smart decisions that guaranteed people would be safe. It was less about winning and more about if this situation was real, what would be the best thing that I can do to ensure that, because it's not always about beating bad guys.
Right. 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 And sometimes it's evacuation, you know, concerning yourself with minimizing the loss of life as much as possible.
Exactly.
Sure. All right, everybody. I know we've gone over a little bit, and I want to announce the winner for our Gundam Loot Crate. So you guys got your entries in. I will give you exactly 1 minute to click, you know, get in on that link and give us your answer before I announce the winner. So I am looking at a clock and go.
Hurry.
Do the thing.
Yeah, I just posted the link again, so.
Okay. Oh, in chat?
Yeah. So there we go. It's been a trip. I'm still not exactly in love with the show this season, to be honest. I think maybe that's because I was spoiled by Attack on Titan last season, and I think Tokyo Revengers is dope if you don't watch that already.
I wanted to ask you guys what you were still watching, so this is like a really quick way to do that, because that was on the to-do list. I've been watching so many shows this season because they're really, really
good. Let's hear it.
I'm watching Tokyo Revengers. I'm watching Odd Taxi, which is really good, like very mystery. Really good, really well written. You can read Steve Jones's reviews up on Anime News Network, and we actually put an interview up with the director, who's actually fairly new to anime TV series directing scene. His name is Baku Kinoshita, if I'm right. I did that off the top of my head, so you guys should be like really impressed, okay?
That was impressive, I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, okay, so we've got an interview with him up where he talks about how they approached the show, why they chose animals over people, things like that. It's a really great show streaming on Crunchyroll. I feel like I actually need the entire preview guide in front of me because I'm watching so much stuff. Shadows House is really good. That one's on Funimation. Really? It's creepy. Yeah, it ended up being really good.
Okay, yeah. I'll check it out.
Yeah, that one's pretty good.
I didn't do 2 Year Eternity Girl. I watched the first one and it was too much. It's too heavy.
Yeah. It's a completely different arc after the first episode, but I mean, it's still the same kind of mood.
Are you feeling it still or no?
I know what happens because of the manga, so to be honest, I've been chicken and haven't watched the latest like episode or so because I know it's going to completely wreck me. So I'm just
my God, I'm definitely not.
I don't know if I'm ready yet.
No.
Oh, Carl says he's watching Super Cub. I'm not watching that one, but Mercedes is reviewing that one on Anime News Network, and she really, really likes it. It's like, you know, about a girl who's very lonely, probably in the midst of a depression, and then starts to be able to socialize and come out of her shell after she gets a Honda Super Cub motorbike. I don't think it goes fast enough to be considered a motorcycle, but starts driving it around, learns how to like maintain it, take care of it. It's basically like her first hobby, and it connects her with some other people. Combatants Will Be Dispatched. I'm not watching that one because the author's sense of humor really isn't my style. It's by the same guy who does Konosuba, but we've got reviews by Richard Eisenbees up on Anime News Network for that too, and it's pretty funny, but it's got kind of a crude, a little bit mean-spirited sense of humor, so as long as you can roll with that, you might enjoy yourself. It's about a group of villains going to invade another planet and getting up to like wacky hijinks. Megalobox 2, thank you JD Cole, I can't believe I forgot that. Best show of the season, in my opinion. Is everyone else watching Megalobox? Like,
I haven't been keeping up. I watched the first 2 episodes and I need to get back into it.
Oh, it's so good.
The second episode was kind of slow for me. The first episode I thought was great. So maybe I need to just give it some time.
Yeah. I think the second one was a little bit slow. I need to watch the latest episode of that, but I am watching Megalobox for sure. And
86 was good. Someone put 86
on there. That's what I'm not watching, but I've heard is excellent.
It's good. Yeah. It's really, really heavy. And it has mecha in it. So I'm here for it. Fruits Basket 2, honorable mention.
Yeah. I need to watch the last season of Fruits Basket before I can do the final season. But I know.
Watch Slice of Life stuff. How can I be ahead of you in Fruits Basket? I do not know how that's possible.
Oh,
that is so not my jam. I'm surprised. Shoot.
That's true. Nicholas just dropped those Snow White notes. Nicholas is reviewing those Snow White notes for us.
I love that one hid behind her mushroom hat, by the way. Sorry.
And that show's great. I think I'm like an episode or two behind on that, but I am watching those Snow White notes. So if you love anime about art and music, you should definitely, definitely watch that one. It's got great music. Burnout Syndromes did an amazing OP. It was the number one OP in our OP countdown. So yes, also watch Snow White Notes. Anyone else want to drop titles and see how I know? Okay. Yeah. Yasuke. Okay, we did talk about Yasuke last time. I still haven't watched Yasuke.
Oh, I got to finish it. I watched the first episode. And then, yeah, then I had to finish Castlevania. I got it. I have to do more catch up. I will be honest, though. Like, I think I was spoiled a little bit by last season. I thought that, like, Attack on Titan and Jujutsu Kaisen, like, I could not miss an episode.
That's true,
I literally
that's
could
true.
Not function if I missed an episode. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, give me my DJ, okay. I gotta watch it. Yeah, and then it's just, like, now I've been, like, oh, I'll catch up on it. You know what I mean? I think there's good stuff out, but there just hasn't been like mind-blowingly good stuff to me yet. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Yeah. I think that's most of what I'm watching. All right, you guys, time is up. Who is our winner for the Gundam loot crate full of awesome Gundam stuff? Yeah, give me a drum roll. Our winner is Steven N. from Reno, Nevada. Steven,
yay.
I will be sending you an email and you will be getting your t-shirt, your dad hat, your bottle opener, your notebook, and your really cool mug, all it's courtesy dope. Of Anime News Network. If you still want to get one of those crates, though, you can still get them. We've got a 15% coupon. You can see it in the video description down there. So you can use that to get 15% off a Loot Crate subscription and also get yourself one of those awesome boxes. We're going to have more Loot Crate boxes next time too, right, Jackie?
I think so. We're waiting on two more, but I'll be honest, like that Gundam Loot Crate was legit. Like it's some really, really good stuff. Like if you're a fan, there's tons of like t-shirts and stuff out there, but the t-shirt, I wonder where I got it. But it was like, it was so detailed and like nice quality. You know what I mean? Because like sometimes you're like, okay, like I don't want to hate on any specific brand, but like I've bought like, you know, I can't think of, you know what I'm talking about.
They're like, well, it's just like the key art slap.
Yes,
shirt.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, and then I get it. And I'm like, this is kind of janky, but like whatever, you know? So it was actually like a really nice shirt, really nice hat that's like, it's threaded, like this is threading, like it's not like a print, you know what I mean?
Oh, so that's like not gonna,
it's like threaded
wash
in there
off. Yeah, it's
exactly
embroidered.
So it's beautiful. And that mug alone, like it's like I have like these little porcelain like decorative things, which it's blurry, so why do I even have it up there? I don't know, but I like was like, gosh, it's like so nice, like I can't even use this, you know what I mean? Like it's so beautiful. So I just know there's so many big Gundam fans out there, like if you like Gundam, like you have to have this crate, like I just I don't know why you wouldn't, you know?
For real. All right, everybody, I want to thank you again for tuning in. We did go over a little bit, but that was the only way we were going to get to talk about everything we wanted to talk about, including all that Castlevania goodness. So make sure to tune in next time. We'll be back here next Monday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern to talk about My Hero Academia, latest headlines, all that good stuff. And hopefully we'll also have another giveaway. So if you missed out on this one, make sure to be in the chat while we're live, because that's how we're doing it around here. So I want to thank everybody. And I'll see you next time. Also, I'm going to do a little dance.
Yay.
Wait, no, my hat.
No. Hat down, everybody. Oh my God, so cute.
Look, this is ridiculous.
Yay. She looks great. Look,
that's just my life.
It's so cute.
Anyway.
I love it.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. So cute. So cute.
I love it.
I'm worried if I spin too hard, you'll see my underwear.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.